In Mark chapter 12, and before I get into this, I just want to let you know that Gary Carpenter has a teaching entitled The Widow's Mite, which is one of the best teachings you'll ever hear, period. And I would encourage you that if you've never heard that, go to his website, garycarpenter.org, and it's there. And, you know, if you say, well, I just can't find it. Well, then you can use the Contact Us feature there at his website, send an email and say, now, where is this sermon again? And they'll point you in the right direction.
There's a search feature at the bottom of the homepage.
And there's a search feature at the bottom of the homepage. Yeah. You know, we have a search feature at our website as well, and it's amazing how many people will say, I can't find it. And we'll use a search feature. Oh. Hey, you mean that works? Yeah, type in the word mite.
M-I-T-E.
Not M-I-G-H-T. M-I-T-E. And it'll pull that sermon up. But anyway, here in Mark, the reason I said that is because of what we're going to look at here in this passage. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41, and Jesus has been teaching, because if you'll notice in your Bible, there's a whole lot of red ink right before you get up to this. And it says that Jesus set over against the treasury. The treasury is where people put in their offerings there in the temple. And beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, I don't know about you, but as I was raised in the charismatic circles, and not so much when I was raised as a child in the Baptist church, but you know, when Kathy and I got married, that's when we were introduced to, you know, the prosperity message. And this verse or this passage had been used a lot by preachers to say, now you see there, Jesus was commending this woman because she had great want in her life. And he knew that the only way that she could be blessed was if she would sow everything she could to have her need met. And so therefore, you need to have the faith of the widow woman. And you need to give, even to the point, if necessary, to everything you have. You need to sow. And if you do, you're going to be blessed. Well, you know, they would do it with a whole lot more emphasis and flair and all this other. And so by the time they're done, you're like, yeah, I need to do that. Forget paying the electric bill. Forget buying gas. Forget food for the baby. I want to be blessed. Do you understand me? And so we just, you know, dig in our pockets and do everything we can. And, well, I can't be out of money. I still have checks in the checkbook, so write one. And we do everything we could, you know, to do what they said. Thing is, that's not what Jesus was doing here. He was not saying, now, fellas, pay attention to this. It's an object lesson. You need to give like this widow woman if you want to get blessed. Wasn't what he's saying. See, back in those days, the religious leaders of the Jews, and obviously not 100% of them, but this was the popular teaching back then. Same thing as today. If you want God to bless you, you have to give. And so they were doing this, and this is how the Pharisees got so rich. How the religious leaders got so wealthy. It's because they were doing the same thing then that people are doing today. And they actually held more power over the people than what preachers do today, because these guys taught that if you don't do what we tell you to do, then we can cast you out of the temple or out of the synagogue. And when we do that, you're excommunicated. And once you get excommunicated, you're going to hell, and it doesn't matter what you do. So these people had great fear. And these guys used this to manipulate the people. Well, this woman had been taught this basically her whole life. And my question is this. It got down to where Jesus said the last thing she had, two mites, her whole living, everything. What happened to everything she gave before this? Where were the blessings from all of that? Because if what they had been teaching was working, this woman wouldn't have gotten down to having nothing but two mites left. She would have had the blessings that they told her would come her way if indeed she would give, and she would give. And so here she is, one last shot. This is it. I don't have anything left. You know, I'm going to give this. But they told me. They told me that I could be blessed. But even more than that, look at this. Jesus said that she cast in everything. It says here, her whole living. Her whole living. In other words, once she did this, she didn't have any money, you know, figuratively speaking, to pay the electric bill. She didn't have any money to pay the water bill, to pay the gas bill. She didn't have any money to go buy food. Whatever it would be that this woman would have needed in her day and time, this was it. There was no more. She can't. Now, there's a reason Jesus used this word, living, instead of using all she had. He used the word living. You see, these religious leaders were not teaching the people how to relate to God as a father, as much as they could under the law. And God did everything He could to impress upon them, you know, I'll be a God to you. I'll be like a father to you. Even though you're under the law and still have a sin nature, I will be all this to you. The Bible tells us that God, as our Father, will meet all our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus came to earth and He said, don't worry about your stuff, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Your Father knows you have need of these things before you even ask. In other words, your Father, Jesus didn't say God knows, He said your Father knows. And what He was trying to do was get the people to start seeing God as a Father, not just simply some entity out there with lightning bolts looking to strike somebody down. He wanted them to begin to develop a concept of God as a Father who loves you, who takes care of you, who meets your need. In other words, your Father will meet your need to pay the gas bill, to pay the electric bill, to pay the water bill, to buy food, to buy the diapers, whatever it is. Now, if He's going to supply those things for your living, you're supposed to use those things for your living, not for the offering. And when Jesus used this word, living, He's pointing out these religious leaders have been abusing their authority over this woman to the point to where now she feels like she's got to take her very living and give it if she wants God to bless her. They had got these people convinced, He doesn't care about you. And if you want Him to care about you, you have to give money. And you're going to have to give as much, even if you have to give everything to where the lights get turned off and there's no food, your babies are hungry. If you want God to bless you, you have to get to that point. And God, the Father, is in heaven saying, what is wrong with you people? I want to meet your need. I want to see to it you have a roof over your head. I want to make sure there's food in the pantry. I want to make sure your babies have milk. I want there to be gas in your car so you can go out and do whatever you need to do. I want you to have the lights on. I want you to have heat in the winter. I want it to be comfortable and cool for you in the summertime. I want to meet your needs for your day-to-day life because I know what you need. And when I meet those needs and I'm supplying into your life, don't turn around and give your living into an offering to support a greedy preacher.
He didn't say that out loud.
He didn't say that out loud, no. Do you see what's really happening here? It's not about, you gotta give till it hurts. If you're down to, I can give any offering, or I can go to the grocery store. Offering? Grocery store. Offering. grocery store. And God's up in heaven saying, grocery store, grocery store, grocery store. Listen, if God's that great, He can bless the preacher without my grocery store money. And see, this is why Jesus used this word living. He was trying to drive home a point. This woman should never be here giving in this offering this day. She's not supposed to give her living. Under the law, they were supposed to help the widows. Under the law, they were supposed to help the fatherless. And this right here proves that they had gotten away from that. And I want to read to you a prophecy in Zechariah. And it's in Zechariah chapter 7, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. And that's exactly what's happening in the church today. God is saying, don't you oppress people. These people who are struggling financially, don't you do that. You show mercy. You know how to show mercy? Here's one way to show mercy. If you're here today and you're trying to figure out offering or electric bill, offering or rent payment, offering or diapers, I have the answer for you. It's rent payment. It's electric bill. It's grocery. It's diapers. It's your living. Keep it. Keep it. Yes, but what if God tells me? I'm having a difficult time believing God's going to tell you, give it in the offering and let Him turn off the power. I'm sorry. But see, we've been so trained in the religious mindset to think that if we don't put it in the plate, we're not going to be blessed. And to hear somebody stand up and tell you, God wants you to keep your bill-paying money and pay the bills with it. Keep your grocery money and buy food with it. Our minds say, but wait a minute, that can't be right. And God is saying, yes it is. Because I just said, if you don't tell people to do it that way, you are oppressing them and refusing mercy. Do you realize that if the body of Christ could get a hold of this, great burdens would be lifted off the people and they wouldn't be feeling the pressure that widow woman did? If I don't give down to where I'm going to give my very last, I can't be blessed. Let me tell you something. Your Father loves you and He knows how to bless you to meet your needs. But not only that, He knows how to bless you above what it takes to meet your needs so you will have to give in the offerings. Now you guys, you know that it takes money to operate a church. You know that. But you're not supposed to take your living to help support the church or the traveling preachers or those folks on television that all they know how to do is beg for money. Don't give them money. Don't. And this morning, as you know, we're receiving an offering. Don't give your grocery money. Don't give your kids' back-to-school clothes money. Don't. Because your Father doesn't want you to. He wants you to keep your living. Now, let me throw in another plug for Gary. If you want more detailed teaching about this from a whole different angle, you get his teachings on prosperity and focus on the whole concept of pound and provision. It'll open your eyes. It will set you free. Praise God. So, here we are getting ready to receive an offering. Whatever God has told you to give and whatever you would purpose in your heart, that's all it is. There's no legalism, no commandments, no give or don't get blessed. No. It's all about your love for the Father to want to do what He wants, and He wants you to pay your bills and put food in the house, etc., etc. And Father, I thank You that all of our needs are met. I thank You that you're not a commandant of a father, but You're a loving Father, and You want to bless us with our living, but You'll also bless us with what we need to give to support Your kingdom purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.